Hello, everybody. Welcome to Awaken Me Too. This is Bruce Carroll with my always lovely wife, Nikki Carroll, and we're so glad that you have decided to join us this week. And we're going to do part two of Nikki interviewing me.
I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, we're going to bring this story to the barn, and we're so glad that all of you are listening. Once again, Awaken Me Too is a program about real people telling real stories, serving a real God. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to my lovely bride, Nikki.
One day I said to you long ago, it was in, I believe, 1979, I have a surprise for you. And so Bruce closed his eyes and I handed him a gift. I bought you a Guild guitar. He was so blown away that I would do such a thing because he didn't own a guitar back then. And that's because he had sold his guitar. How much did you pay for this? He asked. I knew nothing about picking out guitars, and he knew everything about guitars. $50 was a lot of money for me back then, but that's what I paid at a pawn shop. And he was excited that I would buy him a guitar, but I really believed in him, and I had shared with him that I thought he should start writing his own songs. And that was long before his songwriting came into fruition. You want to talk about that time?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I was knocked out. Not only were you athletic, you could play softball, but you bought me a guitar. A woman had never bought me a guitar before. Yeah, that was awesome. And so I started to write Christian songs. We were in Iowa at the time. And we were about to move to Texas.
Well, so after I bought you the Guild guitar, we talked about marriage seriously after 2.5 years. And I really believed in you. And I started thinking, yes, I'll marry you. But we went to marriage counseling. So we both took a couple tests. So we were with the pastor that gave us these tests afterwards. And what exactly did he say to us?
Well, of course, we had written exams, if you will, tests that we had to take individually. And then he interviewed us separately. And then he brought us together and he said, you know, guys, I've looked at the test and I've interviewed you both separately. And I just don't think you should ever entertain the notion of getting married. I just don't think it'll work. You two are so polar opposite, and you both are a mess. You both come from messy, dysfunctional backgrounds. I just think it would be a disaster for you two to end up married to each other.
Yes,
yeah, that's what he said.
He advised us not to because of our weaknesses. We were both so young, and our weaknesses were pretty bad.
Yeah, but I knew what I wanted and you knew what you wanted.
But I saw something in you and you saw something in me, even though we had these struggles. And so we went ahead and got married. We never had a wedding. We went before the justice of the peace. Mm-hmm. We never had a wedding ceremony. We never had presents and all of that kind of thing. But we had more than all of that. We have had such an incredible marriage together.
Yes, we have. If I had to do it all over again, I'd do it again.
One night you had a very vivid dream about me. You woke up in the middle of the night with this dream, but in the morning you told me about how realistic it was and that it was clear that you knew how much you loved me from the Lord.
Right, yeah.
And that we were to be together.
Yes, you are correct. The Lord put a real, serious, lifelong love in my heart for you, and it's never waned. It's always been there. And I knew right from the start that I was in love with you and that I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
We're going to skip over some of the places we moved to because they're not as important as to the time. At the end of our time of being in Texas, when we finally got to Texas, and you came to me and asked me to please pray about moving to Nashville. I told you I didn't want to move to Nashville. And you said, right. Well, will you at least pray about it? And I went in and prayed about it. And I told you the Lord wanted us to move to Nashville.
Right. To set this up a little bit, we had moved to San Antonio, Texas, and then Conroe, Texas, and I had started to write some songs and sing in some local area churches, and people were starting to affirm my songwriting and saying, wow, that song is really good, and you're a really good singer, and the Lord is really using you to minister to people. So after I got enough affirmation that God wanted to use that gift, that's when I went to you and said, I really think it'd be a good idea for us to chase this down. I think the Lord is opening up an opportunity for me to go to Nashville, make a demo, get a publishing deal, maybe even a record deal. So that's when you said, I don't really want to go, but then you prayed about it and you said it was as if God sprinkled peace on you. We had a really nice situation. We lived on some acreage, and we had a nice house, and we had an 8-acre stocked bass pond, and I had written some songs there. But we left all that behind. And
in fact, you sent one of your songs to the local radio station, which was a big Houston radio station, Christian radio station, mm-hmm. and you kept calling them over and over again, and they hadn't listened to it, and you were squeaky wheel that wanted to get the grease, and you talked to that DJ over and over again, and finally he said, okay, I'll listen to it. And he did listen, and he loved it so much, he had you open for Dion.
Right.
At a huge church.
Yeah. Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas was my first Christian concert. I opened for Dion. The Lord really used that to further affirm that there might be something going on here. We should really move to Nashville and just check it out. So we did. We had a beat-up Buick. We had a 78 Buick, a beige Buick with a red door because it had had a wreck. And I had to go to the junkyard to get a door, but they didn't have one my color. So we had a red door on our beige car. And we moved to Nashville. We slept on my older brother's floor, who led me to the Lord, for several months at least. And then one thing led to another. I was a welder during the day, and then I was a carpenter during the day, and then I would write in the afternoon into the evening. And God's the best networker.
And there were two men that heard about your gifts and heard you sing, and they wanted to do 10 songs on you, a demo tape. But the thing was, while we were at Milton's house, sleeping on the floor, they had gone out of the country, Milton and his wife, and the phone rang, and they needed Milton to come sing at a radio station. And you answered the phone and said, well, they're not here. And they said, well, we need someone to come, and we can't get anyone to take their place. You said, well, I can sing. Mm-hmm. We went, and that was the start of you going from place to sing, because that radio station was so blown away, and we met other people there. And you just kept going and going and going, and it really was the start to go to the little places.
Yes, right. It opened some wonderful opportunities.
But Mickey Hyder and Mike Smith took you under their wing and did a demo tape, because in those days there weren't CDs, there were tapes. Mm-hmm. And they did a 10 demo tape on you downtown on Music Row. And you wrote these songs at night. You worked all day, wrote at night, and did the music at night. Mm-hmm. And then what happened with that music?
Well, so I had this little 10-song project called Something Good Is Bound to Happen, and we shopped it all over town. And everybody said no, because they didn't know what to do with me. You had always said that, you know what, Bruce, you need to go to California to get signed because you have this California sound. And it turns out a guy named Len Kiesecker, who was running a label for Word in L.A., moved to Nashville and heard my tape and said, I want to sign that guy. I want him to be my first artist that I sign. So I got signed, and they released that first 10-song demo project as is. I had a couple of singles off of it, and that was how it all started. And it just opened up opportunities to continue to write and make records. And then the accolades came, the Dove Awards and the Grammy Awards, the Emmy nomination and all of that. God gives us those things to expand our territory so that we can go in and be about his business and tell people about him. I don't get caught up in all that stuff. The awards are nice, but till my trophies at last I lay down. All that is meaningless compared to the glory of God and sharing the gospel of Christ.
And that in and of itself was a miracle, because you had your song Driving Nails as one of those demo songs, mm-hmm. and Terry Gibbs wanted to cut that song, and she sent your demo tape into Word Records wanting them to hear that song, but they were saying, we love the song, but who's the guy?
Right.
And that's how you got signed. That was a real miracle. We did not expect you to get signed like that, because just like you said, nobody wanted to sign you because they didn't know what to do with you. You were so Americana. You weren't really Southern. You weren't country. You weren't anything that they had heard of before.
Right.
And yet you were what the Lord wanted them to hear.
Right. God's always working upstream. If the Lord wants us to do a certain thing, even if there's not a market for it, then he'll create a market for it. And he'll open up a door for us to be able to walk through. And that's how it's always been. As you know, Nikki, we have always just put one foot in front of the other and done the next right thing and given God the consequences. And we've trusted in the Lord.
Bruce, I remember one time where you were so sick, you were laying there in bed and you knew you had an upcoming concert. Mm-hmm. And we knew that you needed to go in more ways than one. So I called for our pastor to come over and lay hands on you. And he brought an elder from the church. They came over and laid hands on you. Mm-hmm. And you suited up the next day to go. And why don't you go ahead and talk about that experience?
Okay. As you know, there's been so many things that the Lord has done, just miraculous things over the years. You know, oftentimes it has come as a result of us stepping out in faith, because mm-hmm. we can't please God without faith. And we get faith through the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. And it's our responsibility as Christians to not walk in the natural, but walk in the Spirit. So on this particular weekend, I knew that I was supposed to do this concert, even though I didn't want to go because I felt terrible and I had laryngitis. I had this terrible case of laryngitis, which is really bad for a singer. But I went because the pastor, like you said, he had laid hands on me, anointed me with oil, and told me to go, that he really felt like the Lord wanted me to go. So I went, and it was in Columbus, Ohio. It turns out that this was this pastor's first Christian concert that he had ever hosted. He picked me up at the airport. It was easy to hear that I was sick and that I didn't have a voice. And he was kind of freaking out a little bit, I could tell. We ended up going to the church, and he put me in the circle of some elders, and they laid hands on me and anointed me with oil again. And it was time for the concert to start. It was 7 o'clock. There's a radio guy out there on stage introducing me. The place is packed. There's 1,500 people in this church. And I'm sort of a big deal at the time. You know, I like to call the flavor of the month. You know, I'm played on the radio all the time. God had really given me an opportunity to get out in front of a lot of people. And I'm standing there just sweating and wondering, what am I going to do when I get out there? Because I can't sing. But I just trusted that the Lord wanted me to do it. But I had this plan B, you know, this backup plan. Like, when I get out there, I'm not going to be able to sing, but I'm going to play my CD, and I'm going to tell everybody how I wrote the songs that they're going to hear, or something crazy like that. So I got out there after the guy introduced me. So make welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Carroll. And thunderous applause, and I come out, and I'm standing at the microphone. And I expected to say, hello, everybody. God bless. It's good to be here, you know, in my croaky voice. But it wasn't croaky at all. It was loud. It was full voice. It was, hi, everybody. God bless you. It's great to be here. I said something like that, and it was so startling. First of all, I got real close to the microphone, and it was really loud because I was in full voice when I thought I was going to be like this. So it was very loud. I'm not going to replicate it on this mic and distort the gain on my producer over there. But I was healed in that instant, and that had never happened to me, right? So I stepped back, and it was like I couldn't really believe what I just heard, so I said it again. So I got up to the microphone real close and said it again. Praise God, it's good to be here. And I was healed. I started to cry, and that's all I could do was weep. So I'm standing there crying, and I mean big-time crying, heaving and hoeing. And the pastor knew that I'd been healed. The elders that were down in front knew that I'd been healed. And the people out there, they didn't know what was going on. All they know is I came out and said, praise God, it's good to be here, really loud, and then started to cry. And people all over the auditorium started to stand up and testify. Actually, I think the pastor came up first and he told everybody, hey, I want you to know, Bruce couldn't talk 5 minutes ago. Now he can talk. The Lord has obviously healed him. And he can heal you. Is there anybody that needs prayer? The Lord is here. He's moving. And all of a sudden, all over the place, people start standing up and they start testifying. He opens the altar. The elders come down. People come down. They get prayed for. And this went on for 20 or 30 minutes. And I hadn't done anything. I didn't sing a song. I didn't share a story. I just walked out and said, praise God, it's good to be here twice, and started crying. So at the end of that time, he turned it back over to me, and I did the concert. I sang great. I sang like a bird that night. Man, I sang so well. And then afterwards, I go back to call you, but there wasn't a phone back there, so I had to wait until I got to the hotel. But like, the pastor comes backstage, and I'm laying on a couch because I still don't feel all that well, and I'm exhausted. And he said, wow, Bruce, that was unbelievable. That was incredible. Isn't God good? And I said, yeah, he is. I couldn't talk. My voice was gone. So I started crying again because God was saying, you know what? I can do anything I want to do whenever I want to do it. If I want you to talk and sing, then by golly, you're going to talk and sing. If I want you to rest it, then that's what I want you to do. So I called you from the hotel later that night, and you answered the phone. I said, hey, baby, how you doing? And you went, oh, it didn't happen. And I said, no, it did happen. It did happen. It really happened. And so I shared the story with you, and I had a concert the next night. Same thing happened. I was hoarse. I wasn't as hoarse, but I was hoarse, and I got out there, and I sang full voice, and it was just amazing, and it was something that I've never forgotten, and it built my faith because God was all over it. I mean, the Holy Spirit healed me in that moment. So whenever I've been sick since that time, and we've had to deal with a ton of health issues with you, when we pray believing, because God healed me once. He can heal me again. He can heal you, and he can heal anybody again.
Yes.
All we have to do is step out in faith and believe that he can do it.
We've seen him do some amazing things, and that was an amazing night. I mean, we were just so excited about what he did.
There's been times when we've laid hands on people and prayed that they would recover, and they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But does that mean that God's not listening? Does that mean that God's not real? Does that mean that he's on the other side of the world and he doesn't hear our prayers? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means God is sovereign, and he'll do what he wants to do. He will always have his way. But we, as the people of God, always need to be ready to be obedient to the word of God, lay hands, anoint with oil, and pray believing that somebody's going to recover.
Yes.
Even if they don't in this life, they will in the life afterwards. Because
yes,
God will ultimately heal everybody that are his beloved, whether it's here or there. So I want that to be an encouragement to anybody listening. There's been some hard times. I know in 91, I had already won a Grammy, and that was when you got cancer. And I remember how that impacted everything. At that time, I was gone a lot. With success, there's a lot of opportunities that open up, and I was on the road a lot. Early on, it was just me and you and the kids in the back of a van or a beat-up old station wagon going where anybody would let me sing. And then it got to where I was on airplanes, and I was traveling all over the country and all over the world, really. And when you got cancer, it just changed everything, and it reordered everything and reprioritized everything. I know that God zeroed in on the things that were maybe out of line. Like, I was traveling too much. I was paying a little bit too much attention to my record sales, my record budgets, and I was a little bit out of balance. And when you got cancer, that so affected me and you, obviously, but I started to say no to a lot of other things because I realized loving the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and spirit was first and foremost. I had a brother tell me something early on, and it always stuck with me. He said, "Bruce, I know you're going to be a big success at this because you're really gifted, you're really talented, and God wants to use that for His glory. I want you to remember something, though. You can be out singing your songs and people are even getting saved, but if you're coming home and your grass is a foot tall, your kids are rebellious, and your wife can hardly speak to you, then you're out of balance. Your family, next to the Lord, is your first and foremost responsibility. Make sure that you take care of that first." So that's when things changed. 1991 is when I realized, you know, this woman is more important than any concert, than any song I sing. She's my gift from God. She's my oneness. She's my partner. So I'm going to make sure from this day on that we're going to live a balanced life. And we'll have the ministry here, and we'll go through the doors God opens for us, but it's not going to be to the detriment of my wife and children. God used that. I'm so glad that He did, because it reordered our lives before so much further success happened. So when it did happen, we knew what to do with it, kept it in balance, didn't make a big deal out of it, because it was the Lord doing it.
Thank you. There were some offers that you turned down and you could have had because of that.
But you needed me at home to take care of you, and those kids needed me. I needed to mow my grass and get my house painted and stay in balance.
Bruce, we've managed to hold on to that once-in-a-lifetime kind of soulmate love that lasts forever because we keep ourselves committed to the one true God and have determined to remain faithful because He is faithful. There's no denying that it's been God's grace to see us through our trials during our journey together. And we recognize that it takes three. We'd never make it without Jesus being at the helm. And I want to thank you today for everything you shared and for being the man of God, the man of integrity that you are in our home. And your family and your wife love you so much. Thank you.
I know that. I know that, and you're more than welcome, my love. You know, I just want to say, in closing, Nikki, it's been so much fun to talk to you. And
to you.
Thank you for interviewing me. And I do want to say, too, that if you want to reach out, contact jesushelps.me. It's a website, jesushelps.me. And you can also email us at info@jesushelps.me. And you can also call us at 1-855-775-3787. That's 855-775-3787. Now, we're a volunteer army. We do the website and the email, and we answer the 1-855 number as an army of volunteers. So give us a little bit to get back with you, but we'd love to hear from you anytime. Share your comments, share your prayers. We'd love to hear from you. So God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. And please tune in again, same time, same station, next week for Awaken Me Too. I love to tell people, and so does Nikki, that as long as Jesus lives, there is hope, and you can bet your life on that because it's true. God is the God of hope. God is the God of everything that we need, and you can only know Him through His Son, Jesus. Thank you for joining us this week. We look forward to seeing you next week.
There is hope.
This is a Valley of the Whale production.